Maybe I'm crazy, but Cardi B and Meg Thee Stallion were not the first rappers to talk about sex. Maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm not. Welcome to Maybe I'm Crazy Podcast. I'm Joy Taylor. Thanks for joining us today. Kind of a sad day in sports. College football conferences are canceling their fall seasons. We'll talk about that in a second. We've got the whole crazy gang here. Heller, Donnie, and T with the Culture Report, where I will talk about this ridiculous reaction to Cardi B and Meg Thee Stallion's new song, WAP. If you don't know what it means, just Google it. Not hard to figure out. It's a bop, and we'll talk about that, as well as the Whitney Houston movie and lots of other stuff. Cam Newton. The NBA has been amazing. I've been sitting around on my couch all day watching NBA. It's like the NBA March Madness tournament in August. It's incredible. I love it. But let's get started with talking about the college football news. So Big Ten and Pac-12 have just announced that they are canceling their fall football seasons. We've kind of been on a slow crawl to college football, trying to figure out if we were going to have seasons or not. These conferences opting out of the fall season or canceling them is obviously massive, massive news for the industry. It's a huge ripple effect. Many, 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 many things are affected by them canceling the fall football season. Overall, my number one takeaway is I feel horrible, horrible for these student athletes whose futures are going to be affected by them not having a fall football season. They're talking about moving it to the spring, which is kind of ridiculous, and I'll get to that in a second. But my immediate emotions are with the students, because it's awful for them. Their futures, you know, for some of them, will depend on playing a football season. They've committed to these schools. It's really devastating for them. Obviously, there's coaches and staff. That may lose their jobs. There are cities that are going to be affected financially by this. There's a lot of ripple effect, like I said, to them canceling the football season. I really haven't given a prediction about whether they were going to have college football or not. I wasn't really optimistic. And my main reason for why I wasn't optimistic is also my main takeaway from, other than obviously the kids being affected, from this decision that has been made. And that is, we need a college football commissioner. We just do. Like, it's time. We've arrived at Hell's Gates, all right? We may have some college football this year. There might be the SEC. There might be the ACC or Big 12. We don't know. Pac-12 and Big 10 are out, so they say. But there needed to be a commissioner. Much like our country and its states, there needs to be a strong leader who can unify everyone and get everyone on the same page and have one voice and help get everyone together to make decisions that affect everyone else, because that's what this is really about. And college football doesn't have that. Mark Emmert is the head of the NCAA. He's not making all these decisions for all of these different conferences. And college football, much like our country, is made up of different conferences who all operate independently, which is why the Big Ten and Pac-12 opting out don't necessarily mean that the SEC or the ACC are going to opt out or cancel their seasons. There needs to be a commissioner of college football. They treat college football like it's a professional sport, even though it's not. And then you run into these situations where you have to make these massive decisions for thousands and thousands of people, and there's no unification across the board. There's no one person bringing everyone together, making these decisions, laying out a plan so that we can all get on the same page. So the biggest takeaway for me, the biggest learn from this, is that that needs to happen. Someone needs to be paid, and they don't need to be under Mark Emmert. They need to be beside him. They don't have a boss. They're not answering to anyone. They are solely there to get college football to the next level so it can run seamlessly, so it can get rid of all the excess nonsense that doesn't need to go on, and can get everyone on the same page. It's super important. And had that happened, we wouldn't be in the situation that we are in today. Now, look, I understand the student athletes. I was a student athlete. My older brother was a student athlete. My younger brother's a student athlete. I spent a lot of time around college sports. I understand what this is all about. I understand the anxiety of sending a kid out to play football in a pandemic. That I'm aware of the implications of that, right? So I don't say anything that I'm about to say with any callousness or avoiding the situation. I think you know where I stand on all of this, right? But here's the situation. These leagues have all done an amazing job. The professional leagues have all done an amazing job at getting back to playing sports. We've seen it. The bubbles are amazing. There's been no positive tests. There's been thousands of tests administered. Everyone gets tested every single day. Even baseball, who had a couple of hiccups, they're not in a bubble, and they've managed to do it. But the difference is professional sports cannot in any way be compared to college sports. There's so many layers. It's so much more complicated than that. So what really had to happen in order to get college football back, aside from having someone get everyone on the same page, which obviously that did not happen? One, this year, they had to treat college athletes like professionals. Now, what does that mean? It means that they are the ones literally taking all the risk, the college students are, while not getting paid. And that's the main reason why you can't compare it to professional sports, because professional sports are represented by unions and agents, and they collectively bargain as a group of adults who are paid for what they do to decide to put themselves in that situation. They're being paid to do that. College athletes are not paid to do that. Therefore, they cannot, and they don't have representation. So they can't walk in a room and say, hashtag, we want to play, because they don't have anyone representing and fighting for them, right? So you had to give a little bit. And in order for them to give a little bit, they'd also have to give a little leverage they have moving forward when there's no longer a pandemic and the student athletes want to come back and unionize or come back and make more demands, because they were able to do it before during a pandemic when they realized they are the actual product. Nothing else is. They're the product. There are no owners. They are the ones bringing in all of the money, all of the TV revenue, all of the sales, all of the merchandise. It's all 100% student athletes. So they need to be treated like professionals in this pandemic, which these schools were never, ever, ever, ever going to do. That's one. Two, the medical protocols had to be agreed on uniformly by all of the conferences. That's what a commissioner would do. They would put together a medical protocol plan, right? Just like all the professional leagues did. Everyone would sit down together using all the information that we have currently, figure out how we could get testing for every single school, right? Or a testing protocol for every single school. How are we going to house the football players? Or how are we going to house football players that have, they're going back to schools where their students coming back? How are we going to house the football players that are going back to campuses where there are no students? Is that even going to work? How's it going to work with Title IX? Do we have to bring back one women's team? There's so many complicated things to this, but the medical protocol needed to be agreed on by everyone, just like it was with the professional sports, right? And waivers needed to be signed for all of the athletes. Now, everyone is freaking out about this when you say that. Like, how could you ask someone to sign a waiver that signs away their right to sue? Because that's what this is all about. What this all comes down to at the end of the day is liability. Because they keep talking about how it's about health and safety. Well, if it was about health and safety, then why would you want to play a spring season? Because if you play a spring season, then you're playing two football seasons within one calendar year, which everyone in football agrees is not a safe idea. It's too much for the human body. So it's really not about health and safety for the actual body. It's just health and safety for getting a virus, which then you could come and sue the school for. So liability waivers that cover the school completely would have to be signed by all these athletes. And I know that sounds ridiculous and callous, but that's the reality. There was no way that these schools were going to put themselves in a position where they could possibly get a class action lawsuit for bringing football back. They're not going to do it. They're just not going to do it. And you can't blame them for not doing it. Why? If I'm a school administrator, I'm the school president, I'm going to risk a multi-billion dollar lawsuit by the football team because we allowed them to come back during a pandemic and don't have any protection legally. Like, these are the things that happens if someone gets sick. So there was no way that any of that was happening without it. You're talking about student athletes. So not only would the adult student have to sign it, their parents would have to sign it. Say they're underage, because I went to school and was a student athlete at 17. Your parents would have to sign it too. It's incredibly complicated. On top of the fact, these schools, unlike bubbles, and unlike professional leagues that aren't in bubbles, because these people already live in their homes, these athletes, these student athletes are going to communities where they don't live. So if they have COVID, they're bringing it there. If they're out into the community, they could spread it if they're not being responsible. So this is not just about affecting the students that are inside the campus. Campuses are in cities and in small towns. So you're talking about hundreds or thousands of students coming back to a community and possibly spreading it there. So there's so many layers to bringing college football back. And the bottom line to me is this was a complete and utter lack of leadership. We've been saying it since the pandemic started. If you wanted college sports back, if you wanted sports back, everyone needed to be responsible. Nobody wanted to hear anything about it. Everyone's out here with their fake medical degrees and their YouTube conspiracy videos trying to convince everyone that this isn't real. Well, here we are. Like I said, we're at hell's door. This is the reality. And this is not something that I think any of these league commissioners or these conference commissioners took lightly, but there are massive effects to them canceling the college football season. And really, we are pretty much all to blame for it. Like that's just the reality of it, because the pandemic is raging. There's no leadership. There's no one getting this under control. There's no one telling anyone what to do that makes any sense. I mean, one person got their information from a meme and the other person's listening to Fauci. And this person thinks that masks are violating their rights. And this person thinks that you have to walk around in a hazmat suit. There's no unifying voice. There's no unifying direction. And it's trickled down into sports. Because you're talking about student athletes, amateur athletes that you are sending out onto a field, that you're sending out to schools who could possibly be infected, spread it to other people, or God forbid, get some lasting effects on them. And don't say that people, that young people don't die from it. That's not factually accurate, and that they are unaffected by it. Also not factually accurate. Is it a small percentage? Yes. But we've already seen cases of young people dying, and we've already seen cases of young people having lasting effects, heart effects, different things that happen to their body from catching this virus. So no, it is not a blanket statement that it doesn't affect kids. There's a reason why these decisions are being made. And it's not because of fear mongering. It's because of the reality that someone could get this virus, become sick and die, or become sick and have lasting effects for the rest of their life. And you can't ask an amateur athlete to be put in that situation when you haven't put together the proper safety protocol or have yourself protected from possible liability, which again is what this is really all about. So is it a disaster? Absolutely. Am I hoping that there's still some college football? Yes. And I think that there will be. I think the SEC and the ACC will move forward, possibly the Big 12, but we'll see. At the end of the day, this was kind of a predictable outcome, even though I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to speak it into existence. It seems we've arrived, and my heart is, as always is, with the actual players, because they're the ones that are affected the most. What up, Heller? What am I winning or quitting today?
What's up, Joy? A little bit of a weird day in sports today, but the good news is we got some fun bubble beef to talk about. And I'm not talking about that TJ Warren, Jimmy Butler. I got that Pat Bev and Paul George over-celebrating a rare Damian Lillard non-clutch moment. Dame Dollar let him have it in the post-game presser, and all three went at it in the comments on IG. Dame, of course, bounced back with 51 the next night, and the Blazers continued hurling themselves towards the 8th seed and an opening round playoff, pretty pleased, with the Lake Show. Joy, the Blazers will take the Lakers to 7 games if they make it to the playoffs, win it or quit it.
Well,
your other co-host, your real co-host, had something even wilder to say than take them to 7, didn't he?
What did Colin say?
Colin said the Blazers are going to win.
Oh no. Okay, so I'm gonna say quit it. I'll say it goes to 6. Lakers win.
Okay.
And I'm cool with that. Here's the thing. LeBron James never lost a first round playoff series. And he ain't starting now. All right. I know everybody's getting a little crazy about LeBron. And I see what LeBron's doing. You know, he's dropping these little seeds of doubt. You know, he's not really in playoff mode yet. And he's not sure about the bubble. And he's missing home. You know, he's kind of planting these little seeds for lowering the expectations on the Lakers. Because he's smart. He knows what he's doing. He doesn't want to go into this first round series with a lot of expectations and it gets crazy, because it will. And look, the Blazers are going to win that play-in series. I love Memphis, love Ja Morant, love how they've been playing, but the Blazers are on fire right now. So they're going to win that. They're going to get the 8th seed, and it's going to be Lakers-Blazers first round, which is phenomenal. And all of these series are going to be amazing, unlike non-bubble times when it's kind of like, eh. First round series, we'll watch a couple games, but it's really not that compelling. They're usually a sweep or a gentleman's sleeve, and we go on with our lives. However, that's not going to be the situation. Now, all this talk about how the Blazers are going to beat the Lakers, I need everyone to calm down a little bit, okay? Like, look, I love Dame, all right? I love CJ McCollum. I love the Blazers. They are a great, fun team, skinny Melo. It's incredible. Yeah, all of that. Like, it's I love it. I'm here for all of it, all right? No sarcasm whatsoever. I actually really do like the Blazers, and I think that they're great. And I think if it wasn't the Lakers or the Clippers, they might actually have an opportunity to win the first round series. But it's not going to happen. It's LeBron James. He's going to snap into playoff mode. He's not going to lose a first-round playoff series. I don't care who else he's got on his team or who else he has to rely on. It's just not going to happen. I don't believe it. I'm not here for it. I think it'll be a great first-round series, but it's not happening. It's the Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James. He's not going to lose a first-round series. Now, do I have faith they're going to make it all the way to the Western Conference Finals in the finals? Not entirely sure. Again, okay. I think Houston is the team to watch in the playoffs in the Western Conference. They are scary. Like they have a ton of playoff experience. They have the ability to go off. Not that the Blazers don't, but they're small ball, which makes it very interesting. And Westbrook and Harden are playing defense now, which is a new thing. You're not into Houston. I know you're not into Houston. I think Houston's a team to actually watch. I love the Blazers, but I don't think that they make it past the first round with the Lakers. I do think it goes longer. I don't think it's going to be a sweep or a gentleman's sweep, but yeah. I don't think they beat the Lakers in the first round.
I wasn't quite willing to say it. I wanted to hyperbolize and say that the Blazers were going to win them because it was a spicy win it, but it's tough. The whole league, the whole world wants LeBron James and at least make the Western Conference Finals against the Clippers. So they're definitely fighting an uphill battle. The one thing I think they have over Houston is they can go small and they can go big. With Whiteside and Nurk, they got a couple really solid bigs. They're not quite as big as like Denver, who I think also could give the Lakers problems. But I think the Lakers' real problems, and let me get my LeBron whine for this. I think the Lakers' real problem is that it's LeBron and a bunch of bums. I think LeBron and after Pelinka's done cleaning up, did you hear Pelinka was like shagging balls for guys? I think that's awesome. But after Pelinka's done shagging balls and doing the laundry and LeBron's done coaching practice, him and Pelinka and Frank Vogel or Jason Kidd or whichever coach is most popular, they just sit around with some vino and they're just talking about, man, I hope Dwight doesn't screw this up for us. The guy can't even wear a mask. Man, JaVale's more worried about his blog. Damn, Dion Waiters was our third leading scorer tonight. We might be in trouble. Where's JR? How can we tell Alex Caruso it's time to shave it? All of these things that LeBron and them, AD, he probably wants AD to get rid of that brow too, low key. I know it's distracting for LeBron, but I hope they can piece it together because it's what the league wants. But I also kind of want Dame to put him in his place. I mean, Dame putting PG in his place like that, putting Pat Bev in their place like that, that made for some pretty entertaining stuff. I want to see at least 7 of him trying to do the same to LeBron and AD.
I mean, it was obviously the NBA drama that we missed and love about the NBA, all of that. I'm here for all of it, all the drama. It's wonderful. I'm so happy we can actually talk about it again in real, cheers, actual form. Cheers. Yeah. Yeah. LaCroix.
That mango flavor, what was that?
It is.
We have a box of those. Are those good?
Delicious.
I haven't tried them yet.
I think this is my favorite flavor. But you know what else is good? Bubbly strawberry.
I've been seeing the bubbly pop up.
Have you had bubbly?
I haven't. We're a LaCroix Spindrift house mostly. Okay.
Well, bubbly is worth a try. It's it's actually a bit more bubbly than LaCroix. So it's got a little more fizz to it. And the strawberry is very strong. I highly recommend it.
I'll give that a shot. This actually isn't even wine. This is just blackberry cranberry juice.
Yeah, it was a little light on the shade. I appreciate it though. For visual effects.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, look, the third person is going to have to step up. We know what Anthony Davis is going to do. LeBron is going to have to be the one in the clutch. And then every night it's going to have to be a third person. You can't rely on Kuz every single night. That we know that but that's not news. Like, that's always been the situation. They're missing Rondo. Avery Bradley was a huge loss for them. Like, they need a reliable third guy and they don't have it right now. Kuz may step up, who knows, but I can't rely on him every single night. We're just going to have to see. But I think that if somebody can step up, and don't forget, even though Danny Green has been really incredibly patchy in the bubble, If Danny Green gets into playoff mode, they're not going to have anything to worry about. So I they have some pieces there that can shine when needed. Everyone's just going to have to step up.
I'm with you on Danny Green, though. His two best plays of last postseason were both injuring Klay Thompson. So I don't know how much he's bringing to the table besides that. Anyway, all right. Keeping it hoop. Listening to R&B artist Tank is the only type of tanking that we support on this podcast. The 76ers were supposed to be the modern success story of tanking, but the bubble may have popped that dream. With Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid nursing new injuries and a tough potential first-round matchup against the Celtics ahead. I wrote that yesterday, so I don't know if that's true anymore. There is a lot for John Hill and the Sixers fans out there to process. Joy, the process is over but remains forever unfinished. Win it or quit it.
Win it. And shout out to John Hill, who we haven't seen in a long time. He is always behind the scenes on the podcast. Can't wait till we can all get back in the studio again.
Bro, yeah.
But, yeah, I'm over the process. I always hated this. I hate tanking. I think it sucks for fans. It sucks for the city. It sucks for players. It sucks for front office. It sucks for coaches. It sucks for assistant coaches. It sucks. The only person it doesn't suck for is the owner, because they don't care, because they've co-signed it. They've allowed this nonsense to happen. It never works. It's a disaster. So low-key, I was always rooting for this to fail because I hate tanking, and I don't want any team to be rewarded for this. Now, similarly, the Suns did a lot of tanking over the past couple of years. They're doing great in the bubble. Now, they have taken a slight turn in that they hired Monty Williams, who's a great coach and a good guy, and I think that they are slowly starting to develop some of their young pieces. However, Sarver is still in place there, so I don't trust any of it. But
nope.
When we're talking about the Sixers, I just think this is not working. There are certain situations that no matter how hard you try, it just doesn't work. It's like relationships, it's working situations, it's the process, whatever it may be. Sometimes you just run into situations that you thought would be great and they turned out to be awful, and that's just what this is. Look, I'm not saying it was a complete disaster, right? They've had some success. But overall, it always feels forced. Like, it always feels like we just have to accept what's happening with the Sixers because it's the process. It's the process. And I'm a big process person. I believe in the process. I believe in taking the necessary steps to get to where you need to be successful and not skipping things and skipping steps and trying to go around the system. But that's literally what the process is about, going around the system, because it's tanking. You're not really building. You tanked. You destroyed your franchise to then build it back up again. That's not how it works. You have to constantly retool, develop the players that you have, develop a culture, which they haven't done. Someone's always hurt. There's always something going on. You're missing that player. This player's gone. It just doesn't work, and I'm over it. And it was a catchy thing, and it was great. And I'm not bailing on Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid as players, right? I still think they have a future. This just isn't what it is.
Joel needs a new nickname. He can't forever be tied to this so-called process that they thought was going to be able to start successfully in losing and then somehow magically turn that later with the same players or similar players into winning. We could go through all the guys that were part of the process who are now somewhere else. And so I think that's what's going to end up being the case for everyone, is that the process will continue in Philly without Brett Brown, maybe without Joel. Who knows what's going on with Ben Simmons. But to your point, tanking doesn't work.
Well, it doesn't work because of exactly what you just said. Like, you can't create an environment of losing and then one day be like, all right, flip switch, now we're winners. No.
Now we win.
you grow and you groom winners. And even when you're losing, you have a winner's mentality to losing, which is you take positive things from what it is you're doing, and you're constantly developing. You're not just like, we're going to lose in order to win. It doesn't fundamentally make sense. So that's why this isn't working. I truly believe that. And it's unfortunate because it was a catchy nickname and it was a great time, but we're going to just put this in a separate chapter of NBA history and move forward collectively, because it's not working.
This is the Game of Zones chapter of history, and they'll go.
This is that season of Game of Zones, of Game of Thrones. And we're going to call Game of Zones, obviously, for this NBA purpose.
Yeah.
This is the season where Arya was with those stupid face people, and the Many-Faced God, and just went on forever. And they never used the storyline again for any valuable purpose later on in the show. It was such a waste of time. I had no idea what was going on. The chick with the stick, it was just nonsense. They didn't need the whole season. There's no value, okay?
And then,
that's what went on with Trust the Process.
And then Joelle ate a chicken for the pregame, and it was all over.
It was all over, yeah. Hey, Donnie, what's going on in High Key, Low Key this week? Oh, my voice cracked. Donnie!
I didn't even notice it. Donnie! Puberty. It never leaves. All right. Heike, the Cam Newton era has begun in New England. He's already begun speaking in cliches and generalities like a true patriot does. Loki, does this mean we're going to get a pod cam? Has the replication process begun?
Ooh. Pod cam. Oh, I miss Pod Tom. Pod Tom is, they disposed of him.
Yeah, he's gone.
I don't know if you ever saw Black Mirror. Did you ever watch Mirror?
Put him in a bag, maybe?
Do you remember the episode where she got like the pod person to replace her fiance?
Yeah, he's in a tub or something at some point.
They put like the salt in. So creepy. Remember they just stored him in like an attic because he never ages and he's like just weird and soulless. So that's Pod Tom. He's somewhere in some attic. And real Tom is free to like be his real self now. Hopefully they haven't made a pod cam. It's possible though, because he is following all the patriot ways and saying all these patriot-like things. Yeah. It would imply that they may have a pod cam. However, I think that he's just buying into what's going on. And I also think actually there's a very genuine part of all this where he does have a massive chip on his shoulder from all of the critics and all of the hate that he's gotten over the past couple years. And he really is fully bought into the I'm the underdog, which he is. Like he does. He does have a lot to prove. The Patriots have a lot to prove this year. Tom Brady's not there. Obviously, I don't think this is a great situation for the Patriots this year, and 8 players have opted out more than any other team. I don't think it's a great situation for the team overall, and I don't think anyone's going to judge what their record is and put that on Cam. I don't think it's on Cam to carry this team, but it is on Cam to have a good performance and a good season despite what he may be actually working with. So I do think he's buying into the Patriot way, and it's not necessarily a pod cam. I don't think it's fully pod cam because he's still got the look, you know? Pod Tom also had the look. Like
it was unnatural.
Very.
Yeah, yeah.
Very unnatural.
We haven't gotten there yet.
No.
All right. High key, as the NBA regular season comes to an end, here's how much Clippers head coach Doc Rivers cares about his team seeding this last week. Quote, zero. I mean, literally zero. Low-key, with home court advantage off the table, the Clippers have a point in not really caring about the regular season.
The Clippers have high-key never cared about the regular season. They don't care about the regular season at all. It's very obvious because they don't let Kawhi Leonard play at all. He's never out there, right? Like, he is minding his own business, doing his load management, and they're doing the same thing in the bubble. They ain't worry about these little playing games. The same for the Clippers. Clippers are built for the postseason. That's why no one was upset about Lou Williams. And why no one was concerned that Montrezl Harrell hadn't come back, even though he was obviously gone, you know, for a funeral as well. They're not concerned about that. They are concerned about one thing. That's a championship. And you only win championships in the playoffs. And he's right. There's no seeding that's going to matter. There's no home court advantage. So who cares if you're first or third or whatever? Like, you just got to go through the playoffs and win a championship. It just doesn't matter in this situation. And they haven't been playing for the regular season at all at any point this season anyway. Now, I know my good friend Nick Wright thinks that this is all us just giving them too much credit and they're really just actually not that good. I don't believe that. I think Kawhi Leonard is that dude. It's why I picked the Raptors to win the championship last year and everyone thought I was a crazy person. But the Raptors are an amazing regular season team, and all they needed was a champion to put them over the top. And look, now Canada has an NBA championship to brag about. So I think it's going to be the same situation with the Clippers. I picked the Clippers from the beginning of the season for this reason. Unfortunately, and maybe this will be something that the NBA adjusts moving forward, the regular season's too long in the NBA. There's too many games. It's too easy for guys to take nights off. It's too easy to just cruise through, get a decent seating, you know, try and get home court advantage if you can. If not, whatever, being healthy is more important. And, you know, that's an adjustment that they may make in the future. But until then, teams that focus that way and on the season that way tend to win championships. There's enough evidence of that at this point.
And like you said, it's been the mantra all season. It's nothing new.
Nothing new.
All right, high key. With Jimmy Butler's return to the lineup, the Heat are at full strength heading into the playoffs. Low key, could Miami be the team representing the East in the NBA Finals? Your team. Is it their time?
I got a Heat shirt on right now. Love black people like you love black culture. It's a Heat shirt, actually.
That's dope. You know, that's Heat culture. Heat shirt.
Yeah, it is. I love the Heat. I'm really starting to drink the Kool-Aid. I've tried to be not an irrational fan this whole season. obviously,
give
they're a playoff
it.
Team. But
give
yeah, like, I'm really starting to buy. Well, look, the thing about it is who's the team to be in the East, right? Obviously, it's the Bucks. Any yeah. other matchup, the Raptors, the Celtics, the Nets, the Sixers, the Pacers, I don't worry about these people. Okay.
It's a toss-up.
The only team that I'm actually concerned about, really, I'm a little worried about the Raptors. But other than the Raptors, it is the Bucks, right? Because you got Giannis, and that's a difficult situation. But all these other teams, I really feel like the Heat can make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, I believe that. I don't think that that's crazy to say at this point. The performance last night was amazing against the Pacers, and TJ Warren has been unbelievable in the bubble. Shut him down. And the Heat have a lot of experience. They have a lot of great vets. Spoelstra's not a game. Like, he's been there before. So yes. Jimmy Butler. So I'm all in on the Heat right now in the East. Obviously, we know what the Clippers are. We just discussed them. But yeah, I'm buying in. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. Heat championship!
Anything is possible!
Yeah, that's probably better. That's probably better.
All right, Heike. Hard Knocks is back with a double dose of L.A. The Rams and the Chargers are the chosen ones this year. Low-key, this is our first peek inside of an NFL locker room since the pandemic and the movement for social change. This could be the most unique season yet.
Oh, it definitely is. Well, first of all, there's two teams, right? So I'm wondering how, like, if it's as invasive for the teams as it usually is to do Hard Knocks. Because, you know, teams hate doing Hard Knocks because you have cameras everywhere and it just becomes... It's just an extra anxiety on top of getting ready for a season. Well, now I'm getting ready for a season in a pandemic. So it's like triple whammy, right? But right. I'm really interested. I think the first couple episodes are going to be extremely interesting because of what you said. What do these locker rooms and camps look like? Like we're going to see how the testing is done for all these guys. Like, what are they getting sprayed with as they walk out onto the field? It's going to be super interesting. So it airs tonight. I'm definitely looking forward to it. I mean, we watch Hard Knocks. I mean, of course we're all going to watch, but I think it'll be interesting having two teams, how much coverage each team gets, because it really is supposed to be an in-depth look. And if you're doing two teams, how much are you really getting in there? But also I really want to see how they're doing the testing and what the protocols are and what these camps and facilities are looking like with all the safety protocols in place.
Can't wait. It'll be interesting.
Hey, T, what's going on in Culture Report this week?
Hey, Joy. So, girl, the trailer dropped for Judas and the Black Messiah, and I am hyped. I'm so happy to see a movie finally being made about Fred Hampton. Then you got Daniel Kaluuya and Lakeith Stanfield in the same movie. Girl, this is about to be fire. The trailer gave me all the feels. Girl, it was incredibly well cut. And from what I've seen thus far, like, Daniel's interpretation of the role looks powerful. He's such an incredible actor. I read this is the first time that Fred Hampton's family has allowed his story to be told. And that's how you do it. This is how you honor Fred Hampton. So I'm so excited. 2021 can't come fast enough. Joy, what did you think of the trailer?
Yes, girl. Listen, this trailer had me in my feelings. Like, you know how sometimes you'll watch a trailer and you're like, it like gets you fired up, like it's like a good sports movie or like something super inspirational. Like, you just know you're gonna watch this film and have all types of feels when it's over. I know some people were kind of upset that they cast a British actor for the film, but he's such an amazing actor, and that's what really this is about, is telling the story in an impactful way. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm sad it's not going to be until 2021. This last 5 months, it felt like 4 years. 2021 seems like, maybe it's like graduating or something. Like, when you're a freshman, like, I can't wait to graduate. Like, you got some time. Okay. That's really what it feels like.
Absolutely. And like I said, how the family was okay with this movie being made. Obviously, they're okay with Daniel Kaluuya playing Fred Hampton. So,
right.
I think he's going to do an incredible job.
No, I'm really looking forward to it. And I know the soundtrack is going to be amazing, too.
Oh, for sure. For sure. All right. So, Joy, we have to talk about WAP. And we have to talk about why so many people are outraged by this song. I don't understand why people allow what celebrities, artists do affect their lives so much. I think I'll just never understand that. Men talk about sex, women, they manhood, killing. And you'll hear people say, oh, that's fire. But then when women rap about sex, it's like there's an outrage. It's like, make it make sense. Like, this isn't new. And I'm not talking about like Lil' Kim and Foxy Brown, just to name a few. Joy, we could take this back to 1935. Like, you can look up Lucille Bogan. She has this song called Shave 'Em Dry. Listen to it. The song is wild. But here's the thing. If you don't like the song, don't listen. Like, this just isn't hard. Like, I don't want to hear about the kids because clearly this is an adult song. Like, a good parent is a child's role model. So be a good parent. Don't blame Cardi and Megan. Like, your kids are going to be exposed to worse with the internet around. People, Joy, are just way too bothered.
Way too bothered. Stop it. Stop it. Listen, I've been arguing with people about this song all weekend. First of all, it's a bop. Okay, if you don't like the song, fine. I personally feel like it's an anthem. I listened to it like 40 times. I didn't even watch the video that many times. I probably watched the video like 3 times. I've listened to it probably 50. I love this song. But here's the thing. If you don't like what they're saying, don't listen. It's that simple. It's so easy. Don't like it, don't listen. But if your issue is the song, that's fine too. I understand different people have different moral dispositions. My thing is just keep that same energy for everyone all the time. That's not too much to ask. All I ever ask is what, T? Make it make sense. Okay? We have been listening to music like this for how long? You just said it, since the 1930s. I mean, let's just talk about our music, right? Like, we're around the same age. I'm 33 years old. We were raised by Trina, okay? If you are upset,
come on,
I'm gonna ruin your day. Go look up some Trina lyrics, all right? Read them and then realize an entire generation of women was inspired by the Diamond Princess, okay? Like,
probably your parents.
Trina, Lil' Kim, Foxy Brown, Charlie Baltimore, okay? Kia, who am I missing? Like, we could go on and on and on and on and on. And on and on and on. Just Nicki Minaj, like just a few years ago before Cardi hit the scene. Like, what are you actually talking about? This is not new. This is not a big deal. And this is nothing that new that's been in music at all. Are we talking about Two Live Crew? Excuse me?
How about NWA?
How about the sample for the song? How about the sample they used for the actual song? It's a sample. Make it make sense.
My thing is this,
like, this type of music is not new, okay? A. B, it's not new to women. So stop acting like if women talk about sex, all of a sudden the whole world is going to turn into a bunch of hoes, which, by the way, is a word only women are allowed to say. Get over it. Everything ain't for you. Actually, as a matter of fact, this song is probably for you. And you know who this song is definitely not for? Children. Why are your children listening to this song? Why? And if you're of age to listen to the song, like say you're like a teenager and you're terrified your teenage daughter is going to be influenced by Cardi B and all this stuff. First of all, Cardi B is talking about her whole husband. While we're out here being upset and in our feelings, she's talking about her whole entire husband. A. She's B. Married, so. Cardi B is not raising your child. She is not responsible. She did not give birth. She was not pregnant with your child. She is not responsible for teaching your child how to behave in real life. And for that matter, well, let me not even get into how you should act with your husbands. But the point is, they are not, Cardi B and Meg are not responsible for your children. No one is responsible for your children but you. If your child has been so poorly raised that they are going to base their entire life decisions based off of what Cardi B has in her songs, you have actually failed as a parent. That's on you, boo-boo. And only you. Okay? We've had this music for many, many years. We all mostly turned out okay. You can tell the difference between a song and enjoying a song for what it is and completely changing your life path because Cardi B and Meg decided to make a song and throw Kylie Jenner in it. Please relax. All of you need to just relax. And while we're at it, politicians, no one has time for your opinion on this song. We got a whole global pandemic to handle. You know what I'm saying? Y'all busy. You have stuff to do that does not involve your opinion on WAP. It just doesn't. No one cares about it. And I don't know who it was that came out here talking about he accidentally heard the song. Sir.
He turned that on. Right.
Where were you that this song was accidentally playing? The first 10 seconds of the song should trigger you to what kind of song this is. You did not sit... No. You picked the wrong day for the internet on that one. No.
Right.
I follow all of these artists, and I still had to go out of my way to listen to the song and see the video. So there was no accidents involved. Happy accidents.
Right.
Okay. But no accidents involved. So just please miss me with all of it. The bottom line is this. No one's responsible for raising your kids but you. This music's been around forever. It's nothing new. It's certainly not anything new for the men, which you guys seem to have no problem with whatever male rappers talk about. And maybe you just don't like this kind of music. It's too vulgar for you. Cool. Don't listen to it. Problem solved. Everything doesn't need to be up to your moral standards. Everyone doesn't have to live their life the way that you live your life. You can live your life that way and not be judged. And don't judge other people for enjoying themselves. And as far as the empowerment goes, I know I'm sorry I'm rambling right now, but I just have to get one more thing in. As far as female empowerment goes in this song, some things are not for men. And that's okay. Everything is not about you. If I listen to this song and I feel empowered sexually, guess what? That's not about you. That has nothing to do with you. This is not for you. None of this is for you. That one little comment, none of it's for you. So if I feel empowered sexually by this song, how does that affect your life? It just doesn't.
It doesn't.
Because you don't partake in this at any point, sir. So just go about your day, okay? Enjoy what you were doing before we had this conversation and understand how I feel, how I'm affected by a song or how I'm enjoying a song is not influencing a generation of women, okay? I enjoyed Lil' Kim. I enjoyed Trina, big fan, okay? I love My Neck, My Back. The Whisper song came out my freshman year of college, okay? That's Ying Yang Girl. Twins, just so you know, okay? Those are men, all right? We have plenty of songs, all right? And we all mostly, like I said, turned out okay. It didn't shape our sexual freedoms or influence us in any way. We did that person to person, like people do. So just calm down, take a deep breath, realize everything isn't for you across the board, and no one's responsible for raising your kids.
But you. I love that.
Sorry, I had a lot to get off my chest.
Girl, no, well said. Co-sign with all that. All right, so happy belated heavenly birthday to Whitney Houston. I can't believe it's been 8 years. Like, she would have been 57 years old. It's so crazy to still think about. She had one of the most beautiful voices ever. I mean, her voice was just so angelic. And I can't believe I'm about to say this, but they just announced that Whitney's biopic, I Want to Dance with Somebody, will be released in 2022. Joy, you know, I don't even know who their clinic has, but at this point, I don't care. Like, I feel like, haven't we had enough? Like, they were the two that were came out, I believe it was two, they weren't even done right. I think one came out, I didn't even see that one. Another one came out, I think I saw that one. But at this point, I just feel like we need to let Ms. Houston rest in peace. Like, listen, I'm over the documentaries and biopics about her.
I am probably the biggest Whitney fan. I mean, she's right there on my wall, like this, singing on my wall. I love Whitney Houston. To me, she is the GOAT. Like, she is my all-time favorite voice, period. I think she's the greatest female voice of all time. Now, if you want to argue Aretha Franklin, okay, I'm not going to get upset. But to me, Whitney is just the greatest. Miss Aretha, 1A, whatever mood you're in, you can swap it, but it's fine. But Whitney's tragic passing, the way that she's treated and talked about just in general because of her addiction issues, it's just like, can we just if we're going to do this, can we just do it properly? Like Aretha's getting, like, an actual film about her life that's produced and written, like, in a way that is respectful of what her artistry was. So I have seen none of the other ones. I'm not interested. I am not going to be here for any of it unless it's done in the proper way at this point. That's how I feel about Whitney. She deserves that.
She does. Absolutely. I mean, I put like an Ava DuVernay or somebody behind that. I mean, Clive Davis confirmed it. And I'm just like, I know they have like Anthony McCartan. I believe he wrote for Bohemian Rhapsody. So he's going to be writing it. And I'm just like,
okay, so then it may be properly done. But that's the only way I want to see it, is if it's properly done. Like, she deserves that. She did not, she was not treated with the respect that she deserved in her passing, just the way that the police treated her when they found her, like, all of it was disgusting. And even the way that people talk about her now, like, addiction issues are okay for some people, they're not okay for other people. It's like mental health gets treated this way when it's this person and not this person. Like, she deserves a respectful movie about her life that is done at the level of that her artistry was.
I completely agree. Because she's Whitney Houston. It's like, she's the best of the best. Like, the GOAT, yes.
Thanks so much for joining us this week on the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast. Make sure that you go and subscribe to the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast on YouTube. You can listen to the podcast on any podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or iHeartMedia app. And follow us on our social media pages at Maybe I'm Crazy Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And we are doing the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast fantasy football league again this year. We are going to have NFL this year, so we are going to be sending out information for that very soon. So make sure you stay tuned if you want to play in the fantasy football league this year with the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast. And have a great week.
Maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm not. Ooh!